go back to the last point that you said last week. Okay, we had a bunch of questions. Let me review a little bit. We had a bunch of questions. The Rambam in Tumas Meis, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, learns that the idea of Tumas Masa with regard to Meis from a Kavachomer, from Nevela, from Tumas Nevela. But the question is that what do you need to turn to Tumas Nevela for? You have a Kavachomer Mineu Bei. Because that's what the Rambam says, that at the end of the halacha, he says that this is one of three places where the Torah left out a chamor halacha because it mentioned the kal. So, for example, you have an isser erva for bas, which is not mentioned. Because the Torah does mention an Isser Bas HaBas. So, if the Bas HaBas is Asura, so certainly the Bas. And similarly, by Bas HaBachar, the Torah doesn't say that you're not allowed to eat it, but it says you're not allowed to cook it. So, if you're not allowed to cook it, which cooking is a preparation for Achila, you're not allowed to cook it, so certainly you're not allowed to eat it. And over here, the Rambam says, over here you have Tumas Oel. And Tumas Oel is a cow, and yet it's Asura, it's Asura, I mean, I'm sorry, it's not Asura, it's Metame, Oel is Metame, and that's a cow, so certainly Masa, which is Chamor, should certainly be Metame. So that was the Rambam at the end of the Halacha. So if that's the case, we asked, so what do you need, need a Kavach Omer from the Vela? Just say, just go, just do the Kavachomer from Oel itself, and that's it. That's what he seems to be doing in the end of Halacha. Okay, that was one question. Okay, then we had another question that one second. Yeah, I want to think about it a little bit more the 7 days versus the 1 day of Nevela, because I saw in the in the Perusha Mishnah, that the Rambam, you could argue, like some of you guys want to say last week, that it's not part of the Kavachomer itself, but it's mentioned in the Kavachomer in order to set up the detail of Tumas Masa being Zayin Yamin. So I'm not sure about that question. So that was okay. So we had one question. One question is the why do you need the Kavachomer from Tumas Nevela? Okay, and then. Then you have the question of the goy, okay? That with a goy, the body of a goy is metame b'magel v'masa, but it's not metame b'ol. So the question is, mimashach. I mean, if the body of a goy is metame, so let it be metame in all three areas. And if it's not a metame, then it shouldn't be metame in any area. It's like a funny type of thing, okay? And it's based upon the idea of ada. It's based on two limudim. One is that Atem Kriyim Adam, and not Goyim. So if that's the case, then the Adam is mentioned in the Pasuk with regard to Mago also. Also, it's very strange. So how do you say Adam over here, the Adam means Jew and not non-Jew, but Adam over there means Jew and non-Jew. That doesn't seem to be consistent. And then you have the other limud, which was the Mochemes Midyan. So from silence, because it doesn't say anything there about Thomas... Doesn't say anything over there about Tumas Oel. I mean, but we ask the question. So what if it doesn't say anything about Tumas Oel? Once Tumas Oel is established as a metame, you know, if you got the mace, so it doesn't have to. Like, well, let's, you know, we decide the idea of Tumas Oel being absent from the Nochanas Midya, and why is that a raya? Okay, why is that a raya? That was another question. Then you have the question, the corollary question would be that if it's not Matami Ba'ol, so then how could a guy be Matami Ba'masa? Because the whole idea of Tumas Masa is dependent upon a Kavachomer, which uses Tumas Oel. So if there's no Tumas Oel for a guy, so there should be no Tumas Masa for a guy. Okay? Yeah. Then you have, it would seem seems to be a contradiction is the kever, right? Because the kever is metame midaraisa, just like the mace. It's a pasuk. Okay, of etzem adam of the kever, gomer. So kever is its own phenomenon. So, but then the Rambam says that the kever goy is not metame because not metame ba'orel, which implies that the whole phenomenon of kever is dependent upon tumas orel. I mean, where does that come from? What's going on over there? Yeah, those were basically the questions. Okay, with me. But then, okay, so then we went to the psukim. And we said like this, we noticed that the Torah starts off with Tumas Maga, and Tumas Maga per se, then it goes to Tumas Orel, then it goes to Tumas Maga with regard to the so-called extensions, like Eiver Min HaChai, Eiver Min HaMeis. Okay? So it's a funny, it looks like a funny type of formulation. So I don't want to say like this. We start off by saying, say as follows. That really, I want to say as follows. That you see, the mace himself is not per se really the source of Tuma in the same way that the sheretz is the source of Tuma, or that Nevela is the source of Tuma. But the mace himself is really the source of Tumah, and Tumah's mace is not the mace. The source is the encounter with the mace. So that the Ava Tumah is the person, just we'll start off slowly, is the person who encountered the mace. And that the body is like sort of the pre-source of the Tumah. You know, in other words, of course, it's an indispensable thing. I mean, you can't have Tumas Mace without the Mace. But it's not the Ava Tumah. And that's why I made the claim that you have Rashi and the other Rishonim who refer to the body as, not as Ava Tumah, but as Aviyah Vosa Tumah. It's a new category, Aviyah Vosa Tumah. It's funny. But there's a reason for it, because really the Ava Tumah is the person who encounters the Mace. And the body is that which is encountered, you see? But the Avatum is really the guy, the person who encounters the mace. But that's a very loose type of formulation, because, of course, you have to define what does encounter mean. What does encounter mean? So, I said last time that the Torah starts off with a definition of encounter. That's borrowed, because encounter could have been a lot of different things. Could have been formulated in a lot of different ways. But the Torah starts off with a definition of encounter, which is borrowed from Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, namely touching. See, Maga Negia is a universal. In Tumah, in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. It's a transference of Tumah, a means of transference of Tumah, which is common to all Tumah. Okay, Aaron Zimmer, you there?
Yeah.
Did you look up the contras?
No, I didn't get a chance to look at that one yet.
Okay. So, I did. I looked at I just went over it just to make sure that it's completely answered. You know, it is. So take a look at it.
Okay.
With regard to Tumah's Elf, Aaron had a question about Tumah's Elf. But, okay, so because that's really only in Beis Ablia. But you have to see why. That's a unique phenomenon. It's really dependent upon the idea of Shem Basar. You have to take a look at that. Okay. But anyway, the idea over here is that Maga was so to speak borrowed from the general laws of Tumah V'Tahara to be the means of transference. To be the means of transference. Okay. All right. But then the Torah does something else. It's not confined simply to Maga as the universal the means of transference is because that's an encounter. In other words, the Torah took the means of transference of Tumah as a definition of encounter with the mace. But the Torah then presents another definition of encounter as well. And that is Olel. So what is Olel? What is Olel? This is what we left off with last week. That if you're in the same Olel, if you're in the same, covering as the mace, so you've encountered the mace. Now what is that? What is Olel? What is Olel? So last week I made the claim that it's the living space, but the truth is, I didn't have to resort to that, because Ellie had a question at the end of, I was using the term living equivocally, and in a certain sense, that's correct. I mean, he's right. I mean, you have living as a function of, life, which is, a beating heart and breathing, and, whatever you want to say, consciousness, whatever's living, and that's one sense of living. But then there's also the idea of dira, which is a different sense of living. I mean, they share something in common, but it's true, But I have to say it better. And then I was talking with Moshe over the course of the week, about Olel. I mean, so what is this idea of the encounter in the Olel? So let me just. The question of why Olel, so for that, I just want to point out, you take a look at the Ramban. I hadn't seen it beforehand, but if you take a look at the Ramban on the Chumash, on that Pasuk, it's in Bamidbar Yutas, Pasuk Yudalad. So the Ramban says like this. He says, the Hizkir HaKasov, it's in the middle of the Ramban, the Hizkir HaKasov HaOlel, Ragid Shehu Atzma Tana Yeshiva. So the Torah, he says, the Torah specifically mentioned in Olel to teach a Chiddush that the Olel itself becomes Tameh and requires Hazayah. Okay, that's one reason. The Od, furthermore, and this is the Ibn Ezra as well shares this idea with the Ramban. The Od, Bnei Shehayu Yisrael Yoshvei Olelin Bamidbar. Because in the desert where this was given, so they lived in tents. The Dibra Kasav Bahova, and the Torah spoke to them based upon their current situation. Ki Amitzvah Miyadu Liberos, because this mitzvah of Tumas Meis is Miyad in the Midbar Uliberos. Avaru Adir Mabayas Ulachola Mahilim Shemizim Esatuma Al Kala Kalim Valan Afasha Shisham. Be the same thing for Bayas or anything else. But there's a difference because the bias itself doesn't become tamay. If you hear noise in the background, it's because it's raining very heavily. I can't do anything about that. So there's two reasons. One is divra kasav ba'ova. But also there's a chiddush mentioning oil because oil has a din that bias doesn't have. Which is namely that the Olel itself is since it's not mechubar lekarka, the Olel itself is makabel tuma, which means to say that there's a havamina that you would say that since the Olel itself, I mean I'm just being descriptive over here, since the Olel itself is the mechanism of the transfer, so the mechanism itself it doesn't become tamei. But only those things that are, that make use of the Olel in order to be considered an encounter, they become Tameh, but not the vehicle itself. Hamash Malan, that the Olel itself is also part of the, part of the experience of the encounter. The Olel itself also encounters the mace. So therefore, it's Tameh also. Okay, I mean, I'm being descriptive, but. The point is, the Ramban says that it's not Olel, per se. It's that the Torah chose Olel over Bayis, and as you would have expected to see Bayis, but the Torah chose Olel because Bivar Kasav Bahova, and also to teach Halacha with regard to the Tumah of the object itself. Okay. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Ibn Ezra also says, the Ibn Ezra, Bayis Ka'orel, Rakis Ka'atos of Orel, Bavur Ayos Yisrael Ba'orelim. Okay. So, okay, just one second. Yeah. So the question is, I mean, so what's the nature of that experience as an encounter? That you're in the same house. You're in the same house. And by the way, I should point out to you, this Gemara in Sukkah, it's an interesting thing. The Gemara in Sukkah says, comes to the Gemara says, that has a discussion about what do you say about something which is an OL, but is bidei shamayim, like a tree, as opposed to a roof. So the Gemara has all discussion over there. It's a machlokas. And we paskin that the tree is also an oil, but it's learnt out from a ribui. In other words, you'd have one sheet that holds that a tree is not an oil with regard to this issue, lamaskana. But in the other side says that it is an oil, but it has to be learnt out from a ribui of oil, oil. It's you know, it's a ribui of oil. You know, mikol makom. So which means to say that you would think that it's only an oil that a person produces. You see? So what's the nature of that encounter?
Where's that Gemara?
Okay, all right. What daf is it on? It's in the Chos. You could probably find it from the Torah Tamima.
Okay.
Okay. So what's the nature of that encounter? That if you're under the same roof as the person, as the body, I mean, so then you've encountered the body. Yeah. So let me say it like this, because I think that you can say what I want to say without getting into the problem that Ellie raised, you know, like without getting into the issue of bias. I mean, as a living space per se, but you could say very simply that it's an encounter because under the same roof. See, the roof, the bias. The OL means that you've encountered a person's domain. It's not important, the person's domain, it's not important whether the domain is, it means a living space or a working space, you know, but it means the idea that you're in a house or you're in a tent, you're in an OL means that's a person's, that's a human being's domain, a person's space. That's what you have in Bereishis, right? The, I forgot who it was. I mean, the Torah mentions, who are you? That he was Yoshev Oel Mikneh. Torah points out the first person as Machlok amongst the Mephoshim, what exactly means, but, that he dwelled in tents, and he was, shepherd. I mean, But it means that the roof, you know, the shelter means that it's a human domain. It's a human space. It's a defined space that a person sets up as his domain. Okay, do you follow?
It's not mechitza still. That's a gag.
Oh, that's right. It's not. Not mechitza. It's ol because it means. See, mechitza is one type of thing. I mean, but it's not, but the OL is really means, that's why I mentioned living space, really. But again, without getting into the equivocal, the nature of the word living, but I mean, you're right to point that out. It's a good ha'ara. But you're right. It doesn't mean simply a defined space. I mean, Aaron's right. It doesn't mean simply a defined space, because the mechitza defines a space. You see? But it means, It means a settled space. You see, it means a settlement. That because that's like sukkah. You see, it's like a base dira. It's a domain of settlement. That's why the word is Yoshev Olin. Now you see the Ramban used it also. the Pesachim Bereishis, but you're also hearing like the Ramban says over here. Shalom Yisrael Yoshvei Olam. Yoshvei Olam means you're right. It's not just the person's domain, by happenstance, but it means a domain, that domain of settlement, the domain like of a certain type of kvias. You see, that's why the sukkah is really, is the shema sukkah is shema schach. Is because the idea of shelter. So it's not just the domain of hekef machitza. It's really a domain of a settlement. See?
In Gemara Sukkah, you said there was another sheet that said that you could say Ohel is a naturally occurring phenomenon, right? Like a tree.
Well, we hold that. There's machlokas, right? You have one side says that it would not apply to, one side says it would not apply to a tree because it's not a human, it's not made by human hands. It's not like a settlement.
Right.
But the other, it fits in very nicely. The way we paskin is that a tree is metame ba'ol, it does transfer the toma. It's a ribui of kol, ol. The Gemara says, because, it means any type of ol. So I want to say that, in other words, it's a technicality. In other words, really, by nature, see, without the ribui, you wouldn't have it.
That's good.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, very good. Only because of the ribui, but conceptually, I wouldn't come into that category. The
halacha really takes two steps. One is, it's really the ol, the way we mean ol, like a human-made tent. But once that's kavu as the halacha, so then the Torah says, okay, any ol. You know what I mean? Anything, in other words, like this, anything that a person could use as an ol, as a shelter, that's an ol. Follow?
Yeah.
So what I want to say now is like this. So that's, where does that come from? That doesn't come from the halachos of Tumah V'Tahara. Because there's no such thing as Olel with regard to Tumah V'Tahara. There's Maga with regard to Tumah V'Tahara. There's Masa, but there's no such thing as Olel with regard to Tumah V'Tahara. So where does this come from? So the answer is, it comes from the idea of the person, the specific nature of this, of this area. In other words, what I'm saying is like this. You have here as follows. The Torah is discussing how is Tumah transferred by mace? How are we going to set up Tumah's mace? So there's one word that's the definition. The Tumah's mace is transferred via via an encounter with the mace. But of course, the word encounter has to be defined. So the Torah has two definitions. One is, encounter is defined by borrowing a principle from Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara in general, namely Negiah. See, that has nothing to do with this specific type of occurrence. It has nothing to do with the fact that we're talking about Tumah that comes from the dead human body. Right? That's simply, the Torah went to Tumah V'Tahara in general. Maga, Maga is a universal transfer with regard to Tumah V'Tahara, so Maga is, it transfers the Tumah over here as well. Okay? But then, the Torah, that's the generic, that's the idea of, see, in the phrase Tumah's mace, there are two concepts. There's Tumah, and then there's the mace. So, the first means of transfer is via the principles of Tumah. We borrow principles of Tumah to define an encounter. But the next thing, so the framework of encounter, so encounter is defined by the framework of Tumah V'Tahara. But then the second thing is that encounter is defined by the framework of this specific thing, namely a dead human body. So what does it mean to encounter a human body? So the Torah for that says, well, we'll go to the idea of, an encounter is, if you're in the same domain, if you're in the same space as the body, and the space is defined by you know, like by his, and I don't mean living conditions, living life as opposed to death, but I mean is defined by, you know, by shelter, by a person's home, and I don't mean home as opposed to office, by a person's space where he is settled. You see, that's a human consideration. So if you're in the same domain as the body, as a human being, domain being defined by the considerations of a human being, so then you've encountered that person, and then you tame also. You understand what I just said?
Why is it considered an encountering if you go into a domain?
Okay,
I don't know.
In other words, you're in his space. Let me say it this way, you're sharing a space now. That's an encounter. An encounter means you've met up with this person. So right, that's what an encounter means. But now the question is, we have to define what are the halachic, the precise halachic, you know, boundaries of encounter. So one encounter is to touch the body. The other encounter is to share the same settlement space, the same living space as the body. You've encountered the person. So that answers Aaron's question very well, because what about Hekaf Mechitzos? Hekaf Mechitzos is very nice insofar as defining a makom, that's true. But it's not simply defining a makom, it's defining a human makom. And defining a human makom is defined by, see, Hekaf Mechitzos is defining a space. But there's no inherent in the definition of that space. There's no inherent quality of humanness. In shelter, so, you know, like in a shelter, in an OL, a bias, so that's a human space. That's why you require the idea of the shelter.
What relation does a mace have to a living domain?
He was alive. You've encountered a body, human body. So you have to understand, the mace means a human body. The body after death retains the identity of the fact that it's a human body. And I'll tell you even more than that, as we'll soon see in a second. I mean, more than it retains the identity of a human body, it retains the identity of a Jewish body. You see, a corpse is not just mounds of flesh. It has an identity of humanness.
Right, okay.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the idea of the encounter, you've encountered the mace if you're sharing the domain of bias, the domain of OL. You follow?
So you don't mean, when you say domain, you mean domain per se, you don't mean the domain necessarily of the mace.
That's correct. You and the mace are now sharing a human space. It doesn't have to be his space.
Right, because you were elaborating before on it, it's his domain.
No, when I say his, I mean as a qua human, as a human being.
Fine, I just wanted to make sure.
Did he have to die there? Is that what the
possibility? No, he doesn't have to die there.
So if he was just brought in, if he goes to a morgue or something.
That's right.
Same halacha.
Same halacha. Okay?
But you would say that like Nevela. If it was an animal, you wouldn't be encountering that animal carcass if you're in the same oil with it.
But I would say the Torah says that's correct.
No, I'm saying like,
I understand exactly why.
No, I don't mean like the metame by Nevela is not the encounter; it's the actual the actual Nevela itself. But I'm just saying conception in terms of your idea of encounter.
But it would not be an encounter.
It's only because two human beings are encountering each other in the same.
That's
human.
Right. Encounter means that you and the thing you're encountering share something. That's what really encounter means.
So it's only because two human beings are in the same oil.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, you got it? Is it clear to everybody?
Let me say that?
Yes.
I just don't know if you're going this much in detail, so if not, then just tell me. But
okay.
Are you distinguishing between it being, because I know you're going back and forth, but to the foundation between it being that both of you share a space versus that you enter the mace's domain. Now, it doesn't mean it has to belong to him, but just halakha defines the place where the mace is as the Ohel Hametz, meaning...
I thought about that question. I mean, I think that... I think it's safer to say that you're both sharing the same, you know, the same space. I don't think it means that he's like Kona, so to speak. You know, I mean, I'm using the term loosely. I don't think it means he's Kona in that Makom, but it means you and he are sharing the same human space. I don't think you have to go say. I mean, there's nothing at this point that would compel me to say that it's his space.
And there's just shot in the pasuk indicates that a little bit.
I mean, I know, but that's what you have. I mean, you see that. Who is it who brought down that? The Ramban, right? The Ramban says, "The Tam Adam Kiyomus Baal, Adam Kiyomus Vu Ata Baal." Oshad, well, that's one pshat. Then he says, "Oshad Dibra Kasa Baalze Vu Adinim Yomus Bachutz Vechnisu Baal." Funny. I mean, Ramban had two possibilities. It could be that that's what he's debating. You know, that's what he's going back between those two ideas. You see the Ramban?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be that that's what he's mesupik about. But I don't see anything compelling to say that it has to be, you know, I mean, you're right, they're trying to puzzle, but that's what the Ramban says, Diva Kasa Baalza. All right.
Yeah.
Is Eli Fader there?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm here.
You okay, Eli? Yeah.
He's encountering the shear.
So now I want to say, let me just summarize. So now you have as follows. Now you have the Torah really is setting up two definitions of encounter. There's the encounter which is taken from the idea of the objective, the universal tumah v'tahara, and then you have the encounter which is defined by the nature of this particular situation, which is a human being encountering another human being. So it's defined by the human space. Okay. Now let's stop here for a second. Let's just stop here for a second. So before we go on to the Kal Vachomer. So I want to say at this point the following idea. Let's look at the guy now. You see? I want to say as follows now as regard to the guy. Is the goy metame mace, the body of a goy, is metame mace or not? So the answer is like this. Yes, but it's a qualified yes. It means like this. The body of a goy is definitely a body, a human body. There's no question about it. But since the idea of Tumas Ohel is dependent upon. I haven't chosen my words so carefully, so don't jump. Just hear the idea, and then we'll see if we can refine it together, if it needs refining. Since the idea of Tumas Ohel is dependent upon an encounter which is based upon human social interaction, in other words, sharing a human space, so it's dependent upon a human, the definition of encounter is dependent upon the idea of a social phenomenon. And since socially, B'nai Yisrael is muvdal mikol ha'amim, therefore, being under the same roof is not defined as an encounter when there's an inherent impediment in the realm of social interaction, there's an inherent impediment between the two parties. Do you understand what I mean?
I mean, I hear what you're trying to say.
I don't see why. What, I mean, just because the impediment is there, why should that stand in the way of the ability for you to have the human encounter with the mace?
In other words, like this, because it means like this. It means the definition of an encounter over here is based upon a social phenomenon, namely the sharing of human space is a social phenomenon. So you can physically share space. It's true. But since Bnei Yisrael is separated from the nations, so the fact that you and a guy are under the same space physically is true, but there's a monea, there's an impediment to the idea of this being a, you know, considered to be a social interaction, a social encounter. Because let me say it this way. I have to find the right way to explain it. And, you know, like, there's a barrier between the Jew and the guy. There's a barrier. It's an abstract barrier. I mean, you know, it's not a physical barrier, but there's a barrier in between the Jew and the guy, socially. There's a barrier. See? So the fact that a Jew and a guy are under the same roof, which is a matame only insofar as that experience is in human terms, is a social interaction, and social interactions between Jews and Goyim have an inherent barrier between them, so it lacks in so that interaction lacks in completeness. Because there's a barrier there, that's why that cannot be considered to be an encounter.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, I guess this idea is a little bit different, but I was just wondering, like, when we speak about a guy not being a dar, like you say, like an Ervin, that he doesn't have dira, could that contribute to understanding why not matame ba'ol?
Well, which halacha and Ervin are you talking about?
Like, the question, like, diras ovei kochavim, whether it's shema dira or not. Seems like there's some type of a question, like you could speak about an Akum not being not partaking of Dira. Now I know that's a different area there, so I don't but I'm not sure if that could apply, if you could generalize from there, but it seems like
I would agree. I'm saying, in other words, like this. I'm saying like this. You see, what does it mean Dira Selvig Khavim is not a Dira? What does that mean? He's living there, right? Like what is Gemara talking about? But the answer is that it means you're talking about an Erev, which Erev? You're talking about Chumen?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Hadar. Like if you're making an Erev, so you don't. So the question if he's
well, there's
Dira's Osim. But the answer is like it's not a raya, but it's a good support in the following sense, because the whole idea of Erev over there is dependent upon a social interaction. Because what is the Erev? You see, you get together and you have a meal.
Yeah, it's appropriate.
See? So the Dira, the Dira, or for example, if you're talking about like a community. So the Dira, community is a social group. So the Dira of the Goy, of course it's a Dira on its own terms. But it's not a Dira separate from the Dira Yisrael. We do not share Dira with a guy because there's a social impediment, there's a social barrier, I should say. There's a social barrier between the Jew and the guy. See? That's really, I mean, you're right. That's exactly, who's that, Ilan, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just to give you, like, for example here, this is what I'm referring to, because the Gemara, you know, it equates it. It says, Harehu Kedar Shel Behema.
Exactly.
So I'm just saying, like, in other words, he's like a Dalek of a Hema. It seems to be that Halacha doesn't, is that just in an interactive sense, or does that mean per se he's not, you can't call him,
I'll tell you, because I'll prove to you that why, I mean, that's only interactive, I'll prove it to you. Because Sukkah's guy is Kshera. Guy makes a Sukkah for himself, for him to live in, right? So it's good on Sukkah's.
Okay, I see.
But Sukkah's Behemah is not. See? Why? Because over there, it's just simply, it's a structure of a human shelter. So it's not a question of living together with the guy. It's a question of, is this a human shelter? The answer is yes. But as far as Erevin is concerned, so there, Erevin, by the very definition, the word Erev means joining. So you can't join. What type of joining is it? It's a social joining. So you can't join socially with a guy. It's impossible. Follow?
Yeah.
And that's a good raya. Elon, I mean, I don't know if it's a raya, but it's a good, you know, it's definitely, it's like a good support. The means that the mechanism of encounter, the definition of encounter over here is via a social institution. It's via a social phenomenon. But Jews don't share that social phenomenon with goyim. It's impeded. So if that's the case, so there's a wall there. I mean, a figurative wall. You know? I'll tell you, just a story that comes to my mind. You know, it's I'm interrupting the shiur a little bit here, but it's somewhat related. The story comes to my mind that there's once Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal was once invited to give a shiur in a certain yeshiva, and the shiur was supposed to start after a daven mincha. So Rav Moshe had already davened, and he came to the yeshiva. He was brought to, you know, whatever, the driver brought to the yeshiva, and he got there a little bit early. So they in the Beis Medrash, they were still davening. They were still davening mincha. So the boys in yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva, I don't know who it was, whatever, you know, told Rav Moshe, please, you know, go up to the shtender, sit down, make yourself, you know, comfortable. The shiur will start as soon as, you know, after Chazaras HaShatz. So Rav Moshe was standing in the doorway, and he saw that between the path, in between where he was standing by the door, and the shtender, and the seat by the shtender where they wanted him to sit, there was somebody who was still davening tefillah belachash. So he wouldn't move. He wouldn't move. So they said, Rebbe, you please, you know, go in and to take a seat. You know, why should you stand here? Be comfortable. So he said to them, he said in Yiddish, he said, Ich ken it. Ich zeh avant. Which means I can't. I, there's a wall in between me and the shtender. I can't do it. There's a wall there. And well, of course, there was no wall. I mean, what does it mean? But it means that you're not allowed to be over within Dalai Lama's in front of somebody who's davening. So to Rav Moshe, that meant there was a wall. Physically, he couldn't do it. There was a wall there. So the story is quoted, you know, to show that how, you know, the reality of halachic principles are to, you know, like to halachic man, you know. But the idea over here, I'm just borrowing the idea, you know, over here. So the fact that the Jews and Goyim do not are precluded from sharing, you know, social interaction. So that means certain social interactions. So that means there's an impediment in the whole institution of the Arab encounter is defined by a social phenomenon that's impeded. So therefore, it's not an encounter. If it's not an encounter, then there's no Tumas Meis. But if you touch him, so the touching, the maga, is not dependent upon a social phenomenon. It's borrowed from the universal principles of Tumah Tara. So therefore, of course, there is Tumas Meis.
Hey, Zucker?
Yeah.
So according to this explanation, why would a Ger Toshev, I think a Ger Toshev was like a guy for this halacha, right? So, but that's definitely he lives amongst us socially. There's definitely no.
No, it's not the same thing. Not the same thing. We have a Ger Toshev. We have a responsibility to take care of. The difference, and there are differences. You know, there are differences between a Ger Toshev and an Akum. But the idea, but it's not true. You know what? I'll answer your question in 1 minute. Okay.
Okay.
I'll answer your question in 1 minute.
One second.
What are the two limudim? What are the two limudim that Tumas Meis is not transferred to OL? So one is attain, you know, attain Tzoni, that attain Kuyim Adam, but now it's based upon the Paskin Yechezkel, right?
Right.
So, but you have to take a look. If you take a look at the whole Paskin Yechezkel over there, so you take a look at the whole Paskin, so it's talking about the separation of the Jewish people from the Goyim. That's the whole parsha in Yechezkel over there. The separation that the Jewish people and the Goyim, you know, are separate from each other. And that's the parsha over there. So when it says Atem Kriyim Adam, but the Goyim are not Adam, it doesn't mean that a Goy is not an Adam. Chas v'shalom. I mean, a guy's telling Melakim, well, you know, what do you mean a guy's not an Adam? But it means that with regard to, you have to take a look at the parasha, you see, it's talking about the Vachas Hayamim, Yimas Mashiach. It means that socially speaking, you can't say, oh, well, we're all human beings, we all just join together and fit together. It's not true. It's not true. See? So, socially speaking, there's a separation. There has to be a separation. That's really the parasha in Yecheskel over there. And what's Milchemes Midyan? What was Milchemes Midyan? The Milchemes Midyan was the war of separation. Because what was the whole point of Milchemes Midyan was that the Midyanim got their daughters to be Mizana with Bnei Yisrael to try to attract them to Avodah Zarah. You see, and that was the whole thing with the Zimri, right? And Pinchas, that the Pinchas got up, right? And Kanoas Kinasi, Kanoan Pogimbo. So they were, Bnei Yisrael was instructed to wipe out, you know, to go to war with Midian, and that was the war from which we learned the halacha of Tvilas Kalim. So that I wrote the thing that's in the country also, the whole idea of Tvilas Kalim. It's left out from the psukim after that war for what to do with the Kalim that Klal Yisrael got from Midian. So why do you have to be Tovil Kalim? Is it the Raisa Tvilas Kalim, the Rabbanan, a whole big issue? But the whole idea of Tvilas Kalim is because it's not a kashrus halacha. Tvilas Kalim is not a kashrus halacha. It's a halacha in separation, in a social separation between Jews and Goyim. So the Milchemes Midyan is the Milchema of social separation. So that's what I want to say, but is that they're both Limudim, Milchemes Midyan and the Parshin Cheskel are rayas for the fact that Tumas Mace is not transferred to Ol because of the idea that the transference of Tumas Ol is a transference of that depends upon an encounter which is defined by a social phenomenon. A guy does not share the social phenomenon, even a ger toshav, because ger toshav means that he lives amongst us in Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't mean we share and we have responsibility to take care of him, to protect him. His allegiance is to us monetarily and religiously in terms of Sheva Mitzvah Noach. I mean, so we have to take care of him. But that's not the same thing as a social unity. There's no social unity between the Jews and anybody else. I'm Badad Yishkan. We are a separate nation, a nation apart. So the Avram are Ivri. So that's why Thomas makes not transferred by Baal. That's what I want to say.
You bring it as a right. In other words, logically, you didn't really have to say that. You're just bringing it as a raya from these two areas of, that you derive the halacha from. Because logically, you don't, I mean, in other words, in terms of the encounter with a mace, you don't have to say, logically, it's a social phenomenon.
No, but that's my whole point is that Tumas Oel, the idea of Oel as a human space is a social, sharing a human space is a social phenomenon.
That's true, but in this framework of a mace, it's not a social phenomenon.
No, it is. In other words, it is in the sense that, what I'm saying is like this, that encounter is defined, the Torah defines encounter by borrowing from two areas. It borrows from the area of, of Tumah Latara, universal Tumah Latara, and it borrows from the area of the social phenomenon of, of sharing human space. It's borrowed, the Torah borrows from each of those areas to set up the definition of an encounter with the mace. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
What? Do you see it?
Yeah, I'm beginning to.
So that's the case. Okay, so very nice. But there's an impediment in the social phenomenon between Jew and Goy. You see, the body retains its status as the body of a Goy. So I said before, it's not... You're right, it's not a social phenomenon. The other party in this encounter is dead. But that's why I'm saying it's borrowed from the idea of a social phenomenon. But you understand, But when you have a Jew, when you're talking about a Jew and a guy, so there's an impediment to that social phenomenon. So that so doesn't exist. So the Torah can't borrow it in this case. Can't use it in this case.
So, Rabbi?
Yeah.
So we had last week. We had some questions on each of
them. Slowly. Is it okay or no?
Yeah, just one thing. I mean, the Ger Tosha point, like the Rambam says, like Zeshem Chum in Koflin Lahem Shalom. The Lacha, you can't say Shalom Shalom.
Right.
So like that seems like the idea of like a certain type of social interaction. So he says.
So now, yeah, I mean, which halacha is it?
It's the last halacha in Perek Yud Hilchos Malachim. You know, he says that's only by Goyim and not by a Ger Tosha.
I understand that because there are certain things. certain things that you can't do because of issues of Avodah Zarah, and then there are certain things that you can't do because Klal Yisrael is simply Muvdal, is Mufrash. So there are two things. So there you're pointing out where the Tarki Yidwa Halacha was.
The last Halacha. Yud Beis, I guess?
Chen Yerli. Shenagim Gerer Tosha V'Derech Eretz, that one?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. But he says openly, he says that because we're Mitzvah Anu Mitzvah Nachiyasan.
So that's why you have to be Koflin Shalom?
Yeah, he says that because the fact that we are Mechuyav Telach Hayosan means that idea, that barrier doesn't exist. But you can't marry them. You can't. I mean, you can't eat from their kelim. Even if you know it's kosher, if you buy kelim from them, you have to be told no.
Like I hear that you're saying it's not they're not part of our society in the same way that a regular Yisrael is.
Right.
I hear that, but
the bira, what Elon pointed out before, the bira still bira's behemah. He's got the erevin
by Ger Toshev also.
That's right.
I guess I'm bothered if you're seeing the idea as like a human, just like a human interaction between two people. Like the fact that you're saying it's not complete, even though like it exists, but like if it's not the complete social interaction, that you're saying that's what you need, the complete social interaction.
Correct. It has to be a social phenomenon without any barriers. So here there's a barrier. The barrier makes it that it can't. It cannot be defined as an encounter.
Okay. I mean, I hear that idea.
Rabbi Zucker?
I want to understand. What does this answer do? What does this do? It means it explains how the body of a goy could be metame in one way, but not in another way.
Right.
Because you follow. Because you have to understand, the Torah is borrowing over here. The Torah borrows two different phenomena from two different sources. With regard to the Naga, so that's borrowed from the universal principle in Tumah V'Tahara. So that doesn't matter what the source is. Nevela is an animal, has Tumas Maga. It has Tumas Maga. It's not, you know, it's simply borrowed a universal principle, so of course the body of a guy is the same thing. But the second point is that the Torah borrows from the phenomenon of a social interaction. So if the borrowing in that case is from a complete social interaction, from a social interaction of a certain character. Well, this doesn't have that character because there's a barrier there, there's an impediment. So therefore, it's not going to be metonic this way, even though it'll be metonic that way. And the question of the Mimarashach that I asked just falls away.
Right.
He is a metame, so to speak. It is an Aviyavos HaTumah, there's no question. But the transference is impeded because it depends upon the idea of a social phenomenon. Social phenomenon doesn't exist in this circumstance, therefore there's no transference of Tumah. Beautiful idea, I think.
Right.
It's an abstract point, you know, because it's not a simple thing. It's not like the Torah said, like with regard to Nevela. So the Torah is a simple thing, you know, like here are the rules of Tumah with regard to Nevela. Maga, Masa, whatever it is, you know, boom, that's it. Over here, the first thing to realize is that the body itself is not really the avatama per se, but it's really what Rashi calls the avyavosatama. It's an encounter with that that sets up the av. So the whole thing now is going to be encounter. What's an encounter? So it borrows from two different places to set up encounter. It's an abstract, progression of steps over here.
Rabbi Zucker?
Yes.
So if you're saying that Ohel is teaching us the social, that the encounter has to be a social interaction, then are you also saying that Ohel is then, like, in a sense, the paradigm of the social interaction?
In life?
Well, when did the Torah pick, if they wanted to convey the idea of the social interaction and that's the category, the Torah is going to pick the paradigm of a social interaction?
Where are you going with the question? I'll reserve comment until
I'm just trying to ask. I'm just trying to understand, like, why does it have to be this?
I don't know if I can answer that question. Why this social interaction as opposed to something else? I mean, because we're talking about the idea of an encounter. An encounter means that there's an idea of you and the body sharing some type of experience in terms of a physical thing. So, that's why Maga is, from Tum Avatara, is you and the body, you being in a certain proximity to the body. So the whole idea of encounter is, is defined by a physical experience. So you could talk about there are certain social, phenomena which are not physical, but it has to be something that fits into the realm that you're trying to accomplish over here in terms of Tum Avatara.
Okay.
Follow me.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble articulating what my question is, but somebody's bothering me about that it has to be set up in this way to show the social. If I can, I understand what you're saying. If I can refine it better, I will.
Okay, but you see, by the way, that's why I went to the Pasuk in Bereishis. Because, Yoshev Aro Miknah is a human social development. That's what the Torah lists over there in Bereishis. The Torah lists all the, societal, developments like musical instruments and agricultural tools. And one of the things is Yoshev Aro.
Weapons.
What's that?
Weapons.
Say it again?
Weapons.
Weapons, that's right. These are all, it's funny to think about that as a social thing, but, these are all, societal phenomena. Okay?
Rabbi Zucker?
Yes.
I don't know if this is for now, but maybe a philosophical question, why the Torah would set it up this way.
What do you mean?
Like, why is it that by mace you have this kind of phenomenon, that you have a social interaction?
It is a philosophical question. It's an important philosophical question. Remind me about it at the end.
Okay.
Okay.
Rezogar?
Yes.
Just a question, another question. There are the areas of halacha where you're not allowed to socially interact with goyim, right?
Yes.
Okay, so if you are, you're over an isser.
Right.
So you see that the Torah does recognize the interaction.
the interaction exists. The point is like this. It's like I said before, there's a barrier. There's an imaginary wall there. If physically speaking, is it possible for you, for a person?
No, even halachically, I'm saying.
What do you mean halachically? It's awesome. What do you mean halachically? You mean it's prohibited. It exists in the sense that you're not allowed to do it.
Okay.
It exists as a negative. it exists. If I'm saying, let me ask you a question. Is chazir a food for a Jew?
I see what you're saying.
Okay.
It's not really usher. Like, you're allowed to, eat a meal with them, and you're allowed to do these things.
There are parameters. parameters for what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Right. You're saying you need the complete social interaction.
That's correct. In order for it to be an encounter over here. That's correct. I'll tell you philosophically why, which is not fully answering Reuben's question, but I'll tell you that over here, you could say, and again, it's a speculative answer, but you could say over here, we're talking about issues that relate to the idea of life and death. In other words, the whole idea is the encounter means the encounter with death. And the encounter with death is an encounter, is an encounter that, again, I'm talking totally philosophically now. The encounter with death is an encounter which is designed to, not designed, but it does. It causes a person to think about the life's values. You know, like the importance, you know, what's important in life, what's not important. I mean, you know, what's called life and death type of issues. Dvarim ha'omdim b'ruma shel olam. So the idea of saying that I have encountered a dead body, you know, a dead body vis-a-vis the halachos of tuma v'tara, you know, the encounter is such that, you know, that it's based upon the societal parameters, and the goy does not live in the society of Israel, of Bnei Yisrael. So it's a different, he's in a different world, really. So in that sense, it's not really an encounter. I mean, I'm speaking in general, broad, philosophical terms. But that, I mean, that's what's on your mind, so that's why I'm offering that. But you don't need that for the halachic explanation. I'm just, you know, it's like it's beyond the halacha.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah,
Rabbi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a she'ela. So, just the point you're making about the goy. So, is that tied at all? Is this fellow tied at all to why he's not makabel? Why a goy can't be makabel tuma?
That's a good question. Does this have to? It's a funny thing. I mean, I didn't really think into that issue because. It's a flaw. I didn't think into it. But it's a good question. Why the Gemara and the Rambam, you know, emphasize the point that a goy cannot be mekabel tuma? I mean, it's a funny type of thing. Because what does it mean that a goy can't be mekabel tuma? I mean, he's not a Jew. I mean, he's not subject to the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. So of course he can't be makabel tuma. Like the whole thing is a strange thing.
Isn't that circular?
Couldn't he translate the things which are relevant to Jews? Though?
Couldn't he walk into mikvah?
So good, very good. So that's where I was going, really. Why does the Gemara have to say it? And why does the Rambam really emphasize the point? Is because it does the fact that the goy, you know, would not be makabel tuma. So insofar as the goy is concerned, what does he care? Tuma is not in his realm, and it's irrelevant. But it's relevant to us insofar as the idea of a transference of tuma is concerned. Because, like, for example, a kli could be makabel tuma. Kli is a completely inanimate object. It's makabel tuma. You see? So it's an interesting thing. I mean, I'll tell you what, Yaakov, hold the question for a second, because it just occurred to me that I do have something to say that will be relevant to this, even though I didn't think into your question in particular, but it could be they'll be able to answer it from something else. Okay, so when I talk about the kelim being receiving tumah from the mace, then we should come back to this issue. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So that explains tumas orel. But now what about nevela? Okay? So what's going on over here in the Torah? So we say like the Torah starts off with Tumas Maga, then it goes to Tumas Orel, then it goes back to Tumas Maga with the extensions. Right? Tumas Maga of Eiver Min HaChai, Eiver Min HaMeis, Kever. Okay? Fine. At least now you could understand really, we could begin to understand why the Torah, you know, seems to be going back and forth, but we have to address the question of the Kal V'Chomer from the Vela. Why do you need the Kal V'Chomer from the Vela now? Why do you need the Kal V'Chomer from Masa? Why can't you say that you have a Kal V'Chomer from Tumas Orel itself? In other words, like this, that if Maga, Kal V'Chomer would be like this. That you have three types of tuma, Negiya, Maga, Masa, and Ol. So the Torah mentions Maga. Okay, fine. The Torah mentions Ol. That's the least. That's the Kaal. Because it's not as much of an encounter. It's a more abstract. It's a more refined, more removed encounter than Masa. In Masa, you're actually physically, you know, moving the body. I mean, so Masa's really Maga one step removed. Ohel is an abstract idea of encounter. It's not a physical encounter in the sense that, I mean, it's physical, but it's not, it's removed. You're one step removed from the body because there's no physical connection. No, I'm sorry. There's no touch involved, so to speak. You know, in Maga, you're touching the body. In Masa, you're not touching the body directly, but you're moving the body. You're carrying the body, transporting it. So that's more direct. But the Ohel, you could be, you know, 100 feet away as long as you're under the same roof. I mean, it is a physical thing, but it's not physical between you and the body in a direct way. So say simply that it's Kal Vachomer. If Ohel is Matame, then Masa should certainly be Matame. Okay? So what do you need Nevela for? Okay, but now I think we can answer it. What do you say?
It's a different system. It's like the two systems are qualitatively different.
That's correct. So what's the Kal Vachomer though now? You're right. But now, so now what's the Kal Vachomer from Nevela? Well, you understand what Elon just said. In other words, you see that you cannot make a simple Kal Vachomer from Ohel. Because the reason that Ohel is a Matame is because of the idea of a social interaction. Masa has nothing to do with a social interaction. Masa is a halacha in Tumah V'Tahara. So the Kal Vachomer, just from a logical point of view, Kal Vachomer means that you have two things that share the same quality but different quantity. And if the Kal is true, then the Chomer within that quality is also true. That, if you have to put Kal Vachomer into logical terms, so that's the way you have to define it. You can't have a Kal Vachomer of two different qualities, because it's like comparing apples and chairs. You can't compare an apple and chair to two different realms. Apples and bananas, by the way, you can. Apples and oranges, you can compare, because they're fruit. But apples and chairs, you can't compare. Two different realms. So now that we understand that the Torah's definition of encounter makes use of Tumah V'Tahara in the form of Maga, and it makes use of societal interaction in the form of Ohel. Those are two completely separate qualities. So you can't have a Kal Vachomer from two qualities. It's impossible. So that's why the Gemara had to turn to Nevela. That's why the Gemara had to turn to Nevela. So what is the Kal Vachomer, though? So now, okay, that's nice, but what is the Kal Vachomer? Now the Gemara goes to the Nevela. It says that by Nevela, you have Maga, and you have Masa, and you don't have Ohel. By Mace, you have Maga, and you have Ohel. Certainly you should have Masa. Well, what kind of Kal Vachomer is that? What's the answer?
Maybe it's extending the interaction in the framework of Tumah from Maga to Masa.
And?
That just like Maga in the framework of Tumah is considered an encounter, so Tumasa should be considered an encounter.
Right. You're right. What you're saying is 100% correct, but you're not being complete. What you said is 100% true, but you have to complete the idea. Why is it? How did the Gemara know? You know that to extend. The Tumah V'Tahara realm to include Masa also from Ohel. It's a funny thing, right?
Right.
What's the answer? But you're right, you're on target there. What's the answer? So the answer is like this. You see, that when the Torah first mentioned Maga alone, so what was the reason to choose Maga? Why Maga? So the answer is because Maga is universal in Tumah. Right?
Okay.
But then, and that would have been sufficient. That's okay, that's fine. But then when the Torah went to Ohel, so the Torah was in effect saying that the means of transference of Tumah over here is extended. It's not just the universal, you know, halacha with regard to Tumah. But you have to look at this particular situation, because why the whole idea of societal interaction is saying, look at this particular, look at this as a particular phenomenon. Thomas Mace, a human being encountering another human being, societal interaction. If that's the case, so then the Gemara says, oh, one second then. So then you should go back to the idea of encounter with death. There is a term of encounter with death. Not just universal term in general, which would be, you know, Sheretz, Nevela, Zov, you know, with the Yoledes, but there is a term that deals with death. What is it? What other category of term deals with death?
Masa.
No. Nevela.
Oh, that. Different frameworks.
Yeah.
See? Nevela is an encounter. The Nevela is touching a dead animal, you know, is whatever. Is tumah from a dead animal. So if that's the case, so once you see that the idea of encounter was expanded to include something having to do with the particular nature of this situation, so the Gemara says, if that's the case, so then don't use Maga simply because it's universal in Tumah V'Tahara. But there's a Tumah V'Tahara that deals with death, so we should use we should borrow the idea of encounter from that, you know, expand it, not just from universal Tumah V'Tahara, but expand it to the particular idea of Tumah and Tahara vis-a-vis death. So there is a halacha of Tumah V'Tahara vis-a-vis death that we're familiar with. That's Nevela. And that's transferred to Maga and Masa. So once you know that the Torah extended, the transference of Tumah from beyond universal Tumah V'Tahara, but to include also the particular nature of this encounter, so then the Gemara says, if that's true, then it must be that the transference from the halachos of Tumah V'Tahara must also include the idea of Tumah V'Tahara, halachos of Tumah V'Tahara vis-a-vis death. And that must be Masa as well.
Okay, can you go through those steps again?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, what I'm saying is like this, that there's three steps in the Torah's formulation of the transference of Tumas Mace. There are three steps. The Torah starts off, you understand when I say starts off, I want to be very clear about this. I don't mean, when I talk about priority here, when I talk about, you know, first this, then this, then this, I don't mean in time, I mean in logic. Okay, I'm talking about logical priority, not temporal priority. You understand?
Yes.
Does everybody understand that? In other words, you can speak about the halacha being chal on Klal Yisrael all at once, even though logically speaking it goes through an order of steps. But the halacha is the halacha, and it falls to speak upon Klal Yisrael all at the same time. But the logical formulation could involve certain steps in a certain order. It's important methodologically. It's very important to understand that. Zenon doesn't understand that. Okay. So the first step is like this. The first step that the Torah takes is to say that there's an idea of Tumas Mace, and the idea of Tumas Mace means an encounter with the dead body, and the definition of encounter is borrowed from the halachos of Tumah V'Tahara. What's borrowed? What exactly is borrowed? The universal means of transference. So the universal means of transference is Maga. Because if you take a look at all of the Tumah V'Tahara, Maga is the universal means of transference. Okay? That was the Torah's first step. So in this first step, the Tumas Mace is transferred only via Maga. Okay. Why? Because encounter, the parameters of encounter are taken from the laws of Tumas Tara, which law? The universal transference. Okay. Then the Torah says, second step, then the Torah says, but that's not all. But wait, there's more. Okay? And that is that Tumas Mace is Alacha in Tumah. Yes, that's true. That was our first step. But it's also an idea of an encounter between a live person and a dead body. So for that idea of encounter, says the Torah, encounter is going to be borrowed, the definition of encounter is going to be borrowed from a societal institution, a societal phenomenon. Namely, you know, the human space, the encounter within the human space. Okay, that's step two. Now step three goes like this. Once the Torah, once you see that the Torah expanded the definition of encounter from universal Tumah V'Tahara, it expanded it into the definition of encounter includes something particular to this situation, person, live person, dead body. So now let's go back and look at what was borrowed from Tumah V'Tahara as an encounter. It began as a universal, having nothing to do with death, having nothing to do with a human being, a live person encountering a dead body, and nothing to do with that. It was simply universal Tumah V'Tahara, Maga. But once you see that it's expanded, the definition of encounter is expanded to include an idea having to do with this particular situation, person to person, right? Live human being, dead body. So now the Torah says, if that's the case, so what we borrow now from the halachos of Tumah V'Tahara is should not be limited only to universal Tumah V'Tahara, which is one form, only one form, namely Negiah, but it should be borrowed from Tumah V'Tahara that has to do with the idea of death. Namely, there is a set of halachos in Tumah V'Tahara that has to do with death, and that's Nevela. So now the Torah then says, okay, if you see that there's an expansion of Ol, if you see there's an expansion of Ol, you know, insofar as defining encounter, so now the definition of encounter from the halachos of Tumah itself, instead of using the basic universal transference method, which is Maga, now we're going to say that we're going to use the transference from Tumah V'Tahara, which takes into account the particular idea of death. And then in that realm of halachos of Tumah V'Tahara, it's Maga and Masa. And so therefore, Masa is included.
Is that good?
Yep.
Just, I think like with the way you're defining the idea of Tumas and Mace, I think you have a question on yourself is because you're really saying the idea by Tumas and Mace is it's not a transference of Tumah from the body, but the encounter itself is the Av.
Right. You are the Av. You encountering the dead body.
Okay, good. But by Nevela, it's a completely different idea.
Understand that. You're right. You're right.
So even the Maga by Nevela.
That the same thing, the same mechanism of Nevela applies over here.
But it's not.
It's saying like this. It's saying that the Torah borrowed a principle. The Torah borrowed. It's like a transplant. The Torah took by Magad also is not the same thing by Nevela, you know, by Nevela by any other Tumah.
Okay, good. So it's a completely different halachic phenomenon: the Maga of a Nevela and the Maga by a Mace.
That's what I'm saying. It's a transplant. In other words, the Torah says, what's the definition of encounter? So the Torah says, I, the Torah, am going to go to the realm of Tumah V'Tahara. Again, in the first step, it was, there's a universal means of transference of Tumah. That universal means of transference of Tumah is also an encounter. It can be utilized dimension of encounter. It's not a transfer.
So when it exists,
this is where I think you're going off from what I'm saying. In other words, the Torah isn't going to Tum of Atara to say that just like Maga transfers Tum over there, it's going to transfer Tum over here. No, the Torah is saying I'm looking for a definition of encounter, so I can make use of an institution that exists in the laws of Tum of Atara, namely Maga, to use that because it does fit. It can be used as a definition of encounter.
But I'm saying the way halachically it exists by mace is Nagia is considered an encounter with a mace.
That's right.
But by Nevela, it's considered that's a method of transferring the Tumah.
Yeah, but why? I understand why you asked me that question now. You should have asked me last week. But Maga, with regard to the universal idea of Maga, with regard to Tumah, is not defined as an encounter. It's defined as a transference, and here you're using it to define an encounter. It's the same question.
Because there you were trying to explain, like, why did the Torah pick this idea as an encounter? Where did it get...
What you just said is the answer to your question right now.
No, but if the Torah said so, that would be fine with me. But now you want to learn a Kal Vachomer. And then once they're completely different things, you can't say, just like Maga over here is Matame, by Maga, by Nevela, is a transference of Tumah. And Maga, by a mace, is considered an Avatumah in terms of a counter. So too, by Mas is a transference. You can't compare them anymore. In terms of Halacha Kal Vachomer, it's apples and chairs again. You can't compare...
Saying over here like this, instead of saying, you see from the fact that the Torah extends the definition of encounter beyond the universal idea, the universal phenomenon of Tum of Atara to something unique to the nature of this, of, you know, this Tum of Atara of body, person to body. You see that the Torah does that, and that's with regard to Ohel. So now, when the Torah turns to Tum of Atara to be a model for encounter, right? So there's a realm of Misa and Tum of Atara that the Torah, you know, that already exists in the Torah. So therefore, if the Torah is expanding. In general, if you go out to Thomas Mace over here, so the Torah must go to the idea. It wouldn't make any sense that the Torah should use Maga alone as a universal and not the Maga of, and therefore also the Masa of Nevela, because that's a realm in Tum of Atara that the Torah can make use of to define encounter, which will take into account this particular form of, this situation of person to body.
Yeah, but you're creating avos. Like, it's what right do you have to say that Torah should have created another av of no se hames? Just because Tuma transfers through Maga and Masa doesn't mean that the Torah should create another av of no se hames.
Not that it should. It did.
How do you know?
Yeah, and the answer is yes, it does. Because you see, if the Torah wouldn't have OL. So then it would just be going. Then the Torah would be going to the realm of Tumah to borrow, you know, to make use of something over there to define to create a definition for encounter, and it could have been one of two ways. You could have said universal Tumah, and that would be Maga alone, or it could have gone to Nevela insofar as Nevela's Misa, and it could have said Maga and Masa. Either way would have been totally logically acceptable.
Right.
Okay. So what it did from the pasuk, you see that what it did do from Hanogeya b'meis, it started off only with Nagia. So it went to Tumah, and it went to the universal. Just the universal. But then it expanded the definition of encounter. Now once it expands the definition of encounter to include this particular thing, so then it makes no sense that it should do the following. In the realm of Tumah, where the Torah went to go borrow a definition for encounter, you have a universal idea, and you have an idea which is particular to this realm, to this situation. And the Torah closed its eyes to this, to the realm of this situation internal to the Tahara, and instead chose the universal, which is not unique to this situation, which is not particular to this situation, and at the same time it went to Tumas Oel, which is unique. There would be a contradiction.
Valid?
Yeah.
So what's the significance of Nevela not having Oel?
In the Kal V'chomer?
Yeah.
Okay, so it means like, in other words, it means like this. Let me formulate it. Is that what you're asking?
No, but it's part of the question. But you know, I'm asking. I'm seeing the whole mechanisms. Yeah, it's part of the question. The whole mechanism of the Kal V'chomer just doesn't seem to me to work. Once you're saying it's like a whole different concept of maga.
Just in terms of that question, isn't that what the Rambam addresses at the end, that the Tumas Shil versus Tumas Echad? Tumas
what?
So in terms of the Erev's question, that seems to be what the Rambam is addressing at the end. That you compare the Tumas Erev versus Tumas Sheva. Meaning maybe if you learn it from the Kal V'chomer, you should only have Tumas Erev.
No, but even that is an idea of quantity. I'm just saying that like, the whole idea here...
Tumas Erev versus Tumas Sheva means whether it's an Av or Tumas, whether it's just Avat.
Oh, you mean that's... I mean, Tumas Sheva means it's an Av.
Yeah. That's correct.
That also... I mean, this question also is like why the Rambam mentions the other Kal V'chomer of Kal V'chomer if this, which has Tumas Sheva, you know, so it, meaning if something which only has Tumas Erev is considered contact, so therefore it's transferred with Kal V'chomer, that way it's an encounter, where it creates an Av, where the encounter is the substance of the Tumah.
Well, what are you pointing out?
I'm just saying, Erev's question might point the direction for the second half of the Kal V'chomer, the Tumah Shiva versus Tumah Erev.
I don't understand what you're saying. Just start again. Are you asking a kasha? You're pointing something out.
Please ask the kasha about Oel. Now I'm just saying, in terms of the Erev's question,
right?
It might be that points a direction for the question about the second part of the Kal V'chomer, which is just if Nevela is only Tumas Erev.
It's just a transference.
It's only a transference. So Kal V'chomer for an institution was not just a transference, it was an idea of
I guess I guess what Yannick was saying, I think it would make me it would satisfy me a little bit is if you could show why it's not like two completely different. Like the way I thought you're saying is like an encounter with the maze is a certain idea. Now Torah wants to find definitions of encounters, so it looks to places to model it from. But really conceptually, there are two different ideas. One is idea of if something's tame, how does it transfer that tame? And the other thing is we need definitions to it for encounters of a mace. But if you can show like that those two things are like so to speak quantitatively.
I understand your question. I think if I answer Yaakov's question, I think it will ipso facto really answer your question.
Right, it's possible, yeah.
Okay. So I'll tell you what, let's stop here tonight because I'm getting a little tired. Let's stop here tonight. We'll start with this next week. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what time do you want to do?